location on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure, and provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah the Almighty. Salamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith and humanity. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today we're going to speak about courage and bravery in Islam. I invite all of you to be with us. Today, Tuesday, is the 17th of Rabiul Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 2nd of the month of Azar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 23rd of November, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and we'll listen to chapter Yusuf, verse 33.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قال رب السجن أحب إلي مما يدعونني إليه وإلا تصرف عني كيدهن أصب إليهن وأكن من الجاهلين.
He said, My Lord, prison is more to my liking than that to which they invite me. And if you do not avert me from their plan, I might incline toward them and thus be of the ignorant.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
When we are facing the attacks of powerful evil forces and we find ourselves teetering on the edge of the abyss of destruction, we must turn to Allah for protection. We must seek His support, for if His assistance is not there, nothing can be done for us. This is the lesson which the great Yusuf, the infallible ones, the Prophet, has taught us. It is he who says to Allah, if their evil plots are not averted from him, he would tend to incline towards them, and he would be left alone in his plight and will be no more. It is wholly Allah who is the protector, not one's abilities, not one's power or mere virtues. Courage and bravery in Islam is our topic to speak about. Courage, valor, fearlessness, and boldness are all synonymous words. They are recognized as the basic qualities of a successful personality. Such, surely, boldness is different from carelessness and haughtiness, or impudence or rudeness. Similarly, there is a vast difference between bravery and indiscipline. Courage and fearlessness are the signs of manliness, and in many tasks, these qualities serve as a bridge to success. Rather, no achievement, progress, and advancement are attainable without courage and gallantry. All social and intellectual revolutions, too, require these qualities. Allah's Messenger, Prophet Muhammad, said in a hadith, a strong believer is better and is more lovable to Allah than a weak believer. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to be brave in Islam. I mean, and in this connection, we are going to consider various aspects of braveness or bravery according to Islamic teachings. In the case of, for example, in the case of the Prophet Abraham, we find that he was brave enough to say no to satanic temptations and to say yes to the divine indications and visions in order to sacrifice his only son, Ismail, I mean, in the vicinity of Mecca. Or we find that the Prophet Moses was also a brave personality to oppose such a tyrant like the Pharaoh in Egypt. Now, it must be indicated that in the case of the divine prophet Joseph, he was a very brave personality to withstand satanic temptations, as discharged and yielded by the wife of the Pharaoh. And the prophet Joseph said a very big no to those satanic temptations and withstood and opposed all the carnal desires emitted by the wife of Pharaoh. So we find that, braveness isn't always in the sense of, for example, combating an enemy in a military context or in a military situation. Rather, this kind of braveness means that the person is able to take the right decision and move in the right direction for the purpose of Allah, for the purpose of attaining the pleasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIV English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
We're going to speak about different kinds of courage in the program. Today's a special. Emotional courage. Emotional courage involves allowing ourselves to feel the full spectrum of human emotions. In some situations, we may try to protect ourselves by appearing aloof, uncaring, or disconnected, but people with emotional courage proceed into emotional relationships with the knowledge that they may be emotionally impacted by that relationship at some point in the future. One tip to liberate ourselves from fear is increasing our worship. We all fall short in one way or another. One Muslim may excel in Salat but forgets about charity. Another fasts easily but doesn't read Quran. We could all use some improvement, especially myself. The future behind I am in my worship, the more fearful I am of death, I'm like a basketball team down by 20 points with 3 minutes to go. The clock is ticking down, ticking down. When there is time, there is hopeful. But when the clock reads zero, time is up. They are watching the clock so much that they can't shoot straight. On the opposite side, the team that's leading by 20 points is not afraid of the clock. They are calm because they are playing catch-up. Only Allah knows our final scores, but we know how many prayers we've missed, how many frivolous things we've bought instead of feeding the poor, and so on. We become actually aware of the game clock during time of war and danger. These times force us to check our own internal scoreboards. The future behind we are in our own assessment, the more we will fear zero. Increase your worship so that you feel blessed, neither self-righteous nor despairing of Allah's mercy, but doing your best to please Allah.
Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, when he was asked to explain the meaning of courage he said in those famous lines, كَلِمَةُ حَقٍ عِنْدَ سُلْطَانٍ فَاجِرٍ. Courage is to speak the truth in the presence of a tyrant. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, in the 63 years of his life, he faced against the superpowers of his time, and he was always on the front lines. He was the symbol of courage and fearlessness. Ali ibn Abi Talib, the Lion of Allah, describes the Holy Prophet in the following way. He says, كُنَّا إِذَا حْمَرَّ الْبَأْسُ وَلَقِيَ الْقَوْمُ الْقَوْمُ اتَّقَيْنَا بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ فَمَا يَكُونُ أَحَدٌ أَقْرَبَ إِلَى الْعَدُوِّ مِنْ. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, he says, when fighting used to become intense and the two armies would clash, we would always seek refuge with the Holy Prophet. And indeed, no one was closer to the enemy than Rasulullah. Ali ibn Abi Talib was the same because he grew up in the lap of Rasulullah. And Ali ibn Abi Talib himself says, Wallah, لو اجتمعت العرب على قتالي لما وليت عنها مدبرا. He says, I swear by Allah that if all of the Arabs gathered to fight against me, I would not turn away and I would not run away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran has commanded all human beings to stand against injustice and tyranny in whatever form it may take. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah number 13, verse 11, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change the condition of their souls. And that is why, my dear brothers and sisters, it is imperative that we change the state of our souls from a state of fear to a state of fearlessness. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to fill our hearts with the courage of prophets. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Dear brothers and sisters, what you had listened to was today's special from IRIB English Radio. That's all for today's episode. Inshallah, we'll meet you in another day, same time, same channel. Thank you very much for joining us. Till another episode, fi amanillah.
Some might say this world today is short. God's left us to our mistakes, oh, and He's never been so far away. Some might say, how could any father stand? See his children across many lands, suffer so, give no help in hand, no help in hand. Somewhere tonight, far away and out of sight, there's a child that's too weak to cry. Deep in both eyes, can't you see him in disguise? Reaching out to the heart that's in me, and I, in every tear that is where he is there. Every tear that is where.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is a wonderful saying from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. The most helpless of all persons is he who cannot find a few brothers during his life. But still more helpless is he who finds such a brother, but loses him.
in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Sometimes when we look and we see the oppression that's going on in the world around us, we often wonder that, you know, these people who are doing it, you know, when will they get their comeuppance, you know, when will they, you know, receive what is coming to them, and so on and so forth, or when will the plight of the oppressed be eased. But all of us, we know, is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His infinite mercy and His absolute justice, will, to put it in, you know, very blunt terms, will take care of business. So in this very beautiful tradition from Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam, we see just that, that the Imam is saying that, you know, don't worry about the plight of the oppressors. What they are doing, you know, and what they will get is incomparable. You cannot, you know, compare the two. You cannot say that this one was worse or that one. No. They will get their result of their actions. They will receive what is coming to them. And in full force, obviously. And it will be something that, you know, will be far worse than what they did. And obviously those who were oppressed, they will have their own, you know, respite. They will have their own kind of mercy shown upon them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in whatever way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees fit. But in this instance, we see that these individuals, the oppressors, the wrongdoers, they will get their comeuppance in a far worse way in that they treated people while they were oppressing them. So in this tradition, the Imam alayhi salam says that the day that justice is brought to the wrongdoer. So there will be a day when this justice will be placed and will be, you know, delivered to the wrongdoers. They will see it. They may not think about it right now, but there is going to be a day where all their actions will be laid in front of them, and they will be made to answer for it, and they will be made to be, and they will be punished for what they did. So the Imam then says that the day that justice is brought to the wrongdoer is much more severe than the day oppression is done unto the oppressed. So what they were doing to the oppressed, you know, we may see as it is being harsh. Yes, for us as human beings, you know, most of us, when we see hurt, when we see damage, when we see, you know, demise and destruction, you know, we feel hurt, you know, we feel sad. But we should know that obviously those who are doing this acts, they will definitely get their comeuppance. They will definitely put, you know, in their place, and the proper justice will be dealt to them, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as it is in this tradition. What they did will not be anything comparable for what they will get in return by the mercy, by the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we're joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of this program. I'm glad to be with you.
Thank you. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. First, we're going to talk about a famous Quran reciter, and after it, we're going to listen to a recitation of that reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation, and besides these parts, we're going to have some other interesting Quranic segments too. So please stay tuned. Well, today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Abdul Fattah Taruti. He was an Egyptian reciter who was born in 1965. His recitations are influenced by the recitations of Sheikh Shahhat Muhammad Anwar, and he has traveled to many countries, including the United States, Spain, Turkey, Pakistan, and Saudi Arabia, to recite the Holy Quran. He has traveled to Iran 5 times. In 1978, after the recitation of Abdul Fattah Taruti in San Francisco, 10 of the audience reverted to the religion of Islam. In Spain, after his recitation, 5 became Muslim. In 1994, He became the Egyptian radio and television reciter and is now reciting in the Mosque of Rasul Hussein alayhi salam and Zainabiyya Mosque in Egypt. Sheikh Abdul Fattah Taruti has an honorary PhD in Quranic sciences from Pakistan. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of Suratul Insan, verses 23 to 26, recited by Sheikh Abdul Fattah Taruti. Let's enjoy it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Ya Rahman Ya Rahim.
Inna nahnu nazzalna 'alayka
كتاب الله كتاب الله
كتاب الله.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Sheikh Abdul Fattah Taruti reciting Suratul Insan, verses 23 to 26. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, first let's talk about the maqamat that Sheikh Taruti used in this recitation. Okay, first he used maqam ar-Rasd. Okay.
Yes.
When he recited verse 24 for the second time, he changed the maqam to maqam nahawand. The third time, actually. The second time, he was still in Rust, but he changed the qira'ah, the riwayah. He changed the riwayah to warsh an nafi'ah. And how do we know that this was warsh? We know this because in the phrase, مِنْهُمُ آثِمًا. This is called صِلَة مِيمُ الْجَمْعِ. Whenever you have the third person or second person masculine pronoun, okay, either whom or kum, followed by a hamza, you have to read the meme sakina, which is a meme sakina, with a wawul mad. So you have to say minhumu, minkumu, if there is minkum, followed by a hamza, hamzatul qata. This is how we know that this is Warsh. The third time that he recited this verse, he recited in maqam nahawand. So he's not reciting, whenever he repeats a verse, he changes the way that he recites the verse, either the riwayah he changes or the maqam. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's not repetitive.
Yes.
Okay, whenever he does this.
Have a right, maybe.
Yes. And, the rules of tajweed, of warsh and hafs, they are mostly the same. The only difference in this recitation was minhumu athiman, and we also have matul badal in the word athiman, which you could lengthen more than two vowel counts to either four or, if I'm not mistaken, six vowel counts. You have two options.
Okay.
And, just like I said, the rules of tajweed are basically the same.
So inna,
inna, we have a noon which is mushaddad in verse 23. So you have to apply ghunna for two vowel counts. Nazzalna, we have a zay which is mushaddad. So whenever zay is mushaddad, you have to, it's like you're pronouncing two zaz, but without without releasing the first z. You don't say nazzalna, you say nazzalna. You hold the first z and then you pronounce the second z, and this is with tashdeed. And also we have the issue of timing of the letters of bahawa, shiddah, and tawassut,
respectively, weak fricative, plosives, and the intermediate letters.
Yeah. And so we have nazzalna. The timing has to be the most because it's a letter of rahawa.
Weak fricative.
Yes. Nazzalna. You hold the zay a little bit. Bukratan wa asila. We have idgham of nun sakina in this phrase. The tanween merges into the waw, and you also have ghunnah.
So we have tashdeed of waw and.
Along with the nasalization. وَأَصِيلَ. In this word, we have a صاد. Okay?
Yes.
صاد is a letter of استعلاء. You have to pronounce it with تفخيم at all times. This is one of the characteristics of
صاد.
The letters of استعلاء. Okay? All the letters of استعلاء, you have to pronounce them with تفخيم at all times.
Mm-hmm.
But letters of استفال are not like this.
Yes.
Mostly, they're pronounced with. The majority of the letters of istifal are pronounced with tarqiq all the time, except for ra
and lam in the majestic name of Allah.
Yes, that's right. So here, the level of tafkhim is different because, it depends on the vowel of the letter of istirla. The level of tafkhim depends on the vowel of that which is above or below that letter. If it's a kasra, it will be below the letter. If it's a fatha or a dhamma, it will be above the letter. And or if you have an aliful med, you would have the highest level of tafkhim. If you have a fatha, you would have the second highest level. If you have a dhamma or wawul med, you would have the moderate level, the middle level. If you have a sukun, you would have the second lowest level, and if you have a kasra or ya'ul mad, you would have the lowest level, just like in this word, al-si-yila.
And the final point, brother?
Let's go on to verse 26, the last verse which was recited. Laylan tawila. Laylan tawila. We have ikhfa of nun sakin here. And the nun sakin is pronounced by approximating the place of articulation of the ta and at the same time making a nasal sound for two vowel counts like this. Laylan tawila. We're hinting the place of articulation of ta.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
الجنان بحبي لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء وفيه محاسن الأخلاق والقرآن.
The Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayka bidhikrik wa astashfi'u bika ila nafsik wa as'aluka bijudika an tudniyani min qurbik wa an tuzi'ani shukrak wa an tulhimani dhikrak. اللهم إني أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع أن تسامحني وترحمني وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا.
Brothers and sisters, as you have been previously with us, we were talking about this part of the divine supplication of Kumail. Allahumma inni as'aluka su'ala khadi'in mutadhallilin khashi'. O Allah, verily I ask you with the asking of a submissive, abased and lowly man, and to samihani, to show me forbearance, wa tarhamani, and to have mercy on me, wa taj'alani biqismika radiyan qani'a, and to make me satisfied and content with your apportionment. وَفِي جَمِيعِ الْأَحْوَالِ مُتَوَاضِعَ, and to make me humble in every state. We said that in this part, Imam Ali alayhi salam is having four requests from the Almighty Allah. The first was forbearance. And we will try to have a closer look at the concept of forbearance through the verses of the Holy Quran and some of our traditions in this program. Hamad bin Uthman says, someone came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and complained about one of the Imam's disciples. That disciple came there after a while, and Imam alayhi salam asked him, why does this man complain about you? He said, he is complaining about me because I collected the money that I had lent to him to the last drachma. He meant that I took all of my money from him. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam got angry and said, do you suppose it not bad to get your money back completely? Allah has described the behavior of the believers in the Holy Quran and says, those who fear the terrible reckoning. Do you think they fear Allah's oppression on them in reckoning their deeds? No, by Allah, that they do not fear except evil reckoning. Anyone who does this has done a bad deed. Brothers and sisters, in this regard, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has stated, beware that there are containers of Allah's mercy on the earth, which are people's hearts. The most favored of these containers are the purest, the strongest, and the most lenient ones. Favored hearts are pure of sins, strong in belief, and lenient with religious brothers. In fact, having forbearance with other people is so important, and is actually, that is why it is considered as one of the conditions if the Almighty Allah, if we want the Almighty Allah to have forbearance on us.
Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf, and I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances. Oh Allah, I beg as one whose neediness is extreme, and who supplicates his knees to you, and whose desire for that which is with you has become great. Oh Allah, great is your kingdom, and exalted is your greatness. Your plan is secret, your authority is manifest, your might is victorious and subduing, and your power is prevalent throughout, and it is not possible to escape from your dominion. Oh Allah, apart from you, I do not find anyone able to pardon my sins, nor to conceal my shameful acts, nor do I have anyone except you to change my evil deeds into virtues.
In one of the traditions, the Holy Prophet puts this forbearance and being lenient with people equals with doing the obligatory deeds. He says, أمرني ربي بمداراة الناس كما أمرني بأداء الفرائض. My Lord has ordered me to be lenient with people as he has ordered me to do obligatory deeds. This means they are on the same level of importance. That is why, for the conditions of accomplishing the deed, this forbearance and this mudarat in nas has been mentioned as one of the conditions. The Holy Prophet says, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِيهِ لَمْ يَتِمَّ لَهُ عَمَلٌ. Anyone who does not have these three things has accomplished no deed. وَرَعٌ يَحْجِزُهُ عَنْ مَعَاصِ اللَّهِ. The piety that prevents him from wrongdoing. خُلُقٌ يُدَارِ بِهِ النَّاسِ. The morality that leads him to be lenient with people. وَحُلُمٌ يَرُدُّ بِهِ جَهْلَ الْجَاهِلِ. And the patience that stands against the ignorance of the foolish. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, being aware of the fact that this is one of the conditions, is asking Almighty Allah to show him forbearance, because he has been lenient towards other people in his life, and that's why he is asking Almighty Allah to have and to show him forbearance. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
تمام ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان
احترام میگذاره. همه این ارزش‌ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respects the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali عليه الصلاة والسلام, the reason we love him as our hero, well, not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام ما أضمر أحد شيئا إلا ظهر في فلتات لسانه وصفحات وجهه.
Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said, whenever a person conceals a thing in his heart, it manifests itself through unintentional words from his tongue and in the expressions of his face.
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's To My Brother, and we were discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. It is interesting, dear friends, dear brothers and sisters, but despite the passing of over 1,000 years, Imam Ali's persona is so profound and so universal that even today, after 1,000 years, Imam Ali's persona is of use to every single one of us. We can still benefit from the words and the persona of Imam Ali. We find in Volume 1, Part 3, Chapter 53 of